All right, folks, ready for a deep dive. Today, things get a little intense. We're talking about that attack on the Brighton fans in Rome. Yeah, then you had those headlines, Brighton supporters stabbed, robbed right in the city center. And right before that huge Europa League match with AS Roma, too. So we're digging into the Argus, that's the local Brighton paper, and then we've got some Italian news sources as well. Try to put the pieces together. So picture this for a sec, Via Cavour, you know, tourists everywhere. The Colosseum's right there in the background. It's almost midnight. Suddenly, bam, this group, six or seven of them all masked up. They just ambush these fans.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine? And get this, one of the guys, he's injured, right? He ends up waiting 6 hours just to be seen. 6 hours in a hospital corridor, just brutal. Makes you think of why target these guys specifically. Yeah. What's the motivation?
Yeah, that timing right before the match, it's definitely suspicious.
Yeah.
This wasn't just some random mugging. Rome's got a history with this stuff. It's pretty dark, actually, this whole legacy of football hooliganism.
Yeah.
And it runs deep. We're not talking about passionate fans getting a little rowdy here. This is organized. We're talking groups with a history of violence going back decades.
So this is way more than just some pre-match scuffles.
Way more. These ultras, that's what they call themselves, they feed off this toxic mix of football and extremist views. They use the sport as a cover, basically, and they target opposing fans because to them they represent everything they're against.
I had no idea it went that deep. It's scary that these groups are just operating in the shadows like that.
And it goes beyond Rome, too. Sadly, this is part of a much bigger problem across Europe. Remember those riots at the Euros a few years back?
Mm-hmm.
Or the violence that seems to follow the Champions League everywhere? It's a nightmare for authorities all over the continent.
It's like this dark side of the beautiful game, you know?
Yeah.
And it just keeps popping up. Make you wonder, is anything really being done to protect fans? And who's responsible for making sure things change? It's just awful, you know? Traveling to a new place, excited for the match, and then to have that happen.
It really is. And what's worse, these attacks, you know, they always happen at the stadium. You'd think it'd be there, right? But it's public spaces where there's less security. Maybe a false sense of safety.
Yeah, the articles mentioned this was near some tourist spots.
Yeah.
Not exactly where you'd expect football violence.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like the whole city becomes a potential battleground. It's not so clear cut. You see what I mean? Mm. Like, where's the line between everyday life and this dark side? Makes it really difficult for authorities to manage.
So it's not just a matter of upping security at the stadium then, is it?
Not even close. We've got to address the root of it. These extremist groups, the lack of accountability, and honestly, the fact that violence has become so normalized for some fans, that's a huge part of this. As a society, we need to ask ourselves, are we really doing enough to change these attitudes?
Hmm.
Are we creating a safe environment for everyone?
It's a tough one for sure, and it's bigger than just punishing the people involved, isn't it? It feels like it's about changing the whole culture of football.
Absolutely. It's about promoting respect, you know, inclusivity. A genuine love for the game that goes beyond just teams and rivalries. And that takes a collective effort. Clubs, authorities, fans, everyone's got a role to play.
You mentioned clubs there. Do you think they hold some responsibility in all this?
100%. They can't control every single person, of course, but they can foster a certain culture within their fan base. One that prioritizes respect and has zero tolerance for violence.
So like really cracking down on hate speech, maybe banning known troublemakers, and also actively promoting those positive fan initiatives, right?
Exactly. Set a clear message. Violence has no place here. Not in the stands, not anywhere.
This isn't just about those Brighton fans then, is it? It's about football itself, what the sport stands for, what kind of future we want for it.
You got it. This incident, it's like it exposes this dark underbelly of football culture, doesn't it? It's a wake-up call for all of us. Time to confront these issues head-on and make the sport safer and more inclusive for everyone. And understanding the factors at play is the first step.
Okay, so let's break those factors down. We've talked about the history of hooliganism in Rome, the role of these ultras. What else should our listeners be aware of?
Well, often there's this really complex relationship between football politics and social identity. A lot of times these ultras, they take advantage of tensions that already exist in society, you know, economic anxieties, nationalist feelings, and they use those to push their own agenda.
So it's even bigger than just football then.
Exactly. Football becomes the stage for them to act out their frustrations, assert their dominance. It's this potent mix, passion, aggression. And tragically, it can have terrible consequences.
It's a weird contradiction, isn't it? You've got the joy, the passion, the way football can bring people together. But at the same time, just below the surface, there's this potential for violence and chaos.
It's a strange duality, for sure. And as football gets more popular, draws in people from all walks of life, well, we need to be really aware of that duality. We need to make sure everyone can enjoy the game safely, without fear.
Absolutely. So how do we do that? Where do we go from here?
Well, awareness is a good place to start. The more you know about the historical context, the motivations behind these groups, the potential triggers for violence, the better prepared you'll be.
Because if you know a certain city or even a specific match has a higher risk, you can take precautions or even reconsider going.
Exactly. And beyond just looking out for yourself, we've got to demand better from our clubs, from authorities, from each other.
So individual responsibility and collective action.
100%.
Yeah.
It's about challenging the way things are demanding change and refusing to accept that violence is just part of the game.
I love that. It's about reclaiming football, you know, for what it should be, camaraderie, passion, respect.
Precisely. And that leads us to a crucial question. What can our listeners take away from all of this?
Right, because it's easy to hear all this and feel overwhelmed. So what concrete steps can people take to stay safe and be part of the solution? So much of it comes down to just being informed.
Yeah.
Right? Being prepared before you even get there.
Exactly. You got to know your stuff.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power, especially in these situations. Like I said before, you travel, especially if it's for a match abroad, do your research. Seriously. Look at fan forums. Read up on local rivalries. See if the city has a history of incidents around matches.
And you're saying don't just rely on, you know, official sources either.
Right. Those fan forums, they can give you the real deal sometimes. A better idea of what to expect on the ground.
They'll tell you, like, the actual danger zones or when to avoid certain areas.
Right, exactly. And even, like, little things, tips on blending in, so you're not an easy target.
Smart. Okay, so say you've done your homework. You're there. What about staying safe in the crowds?
Always be aware of your surroundings. If you see groups gathering feeling tense, just walk away. Don't wear anything that's going to make you stand out.
Mm-hmm.
No rival team colors. No slogans that could cause trouble.
Right. Lay low. And probably not a good idea to go overboard on the drinking either, especially if you're not familiar with the area.
No way. Alcohol plus heightened emotions. That's a recipe for disaster. Stay sober, stay alert.
Mm.
And most importantly, trust your gut. If something feels off, it probably is.
Minimize the risk. Be smart. It's not worth it. You know, the thrill of the game's not worth risking your safety.
Couldn't agree more. And listen, this goes beyond just looking out for number one. We as fans, we have a responsibility to change the whole story around football culture.
So how do we do that? What can we actually do besides, you know, keeping ourselves safe?
It starts with calling out the bad stuff. When you see hate speech, say something. If you see something suspicious, tell the authorities. Support those organizations that are promoting fan safety and inclusivity. Every little bit helps.
Be an ambassador for good, basically. You know, for a better, more respectful way of being a fan.
Exactly. Remember, change starts with each of us. It's a choice. Choose to be the fan who puts safety and respect first. That's the true spirit of the game.
That's a great note to end on, I think. So there you have it, folks. A deep dive into some of the darker sides of the sport, but also a call to action, right? Remember what we talked about today? Not just when you're traveling for matches, but every day. How we act as fans, it all adds up. Because at the heart of it, football is about passion. It's about community. It's about a love for the game. Let's keep it that way. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, stay safe.